Welcome back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by two fabulous artists with a great new work ready to share with you. We're joined by the playwright Elijah Vasquez and the director Taya Einerson, whose new show Until is playing April 25th through May 12th at Theater for the New City, with tickets and more information available at theaterforthenewcity.net. This is a wonderful venue. It's basically a giant sandbox here in New York, and there's so many wonderful productions happening. So we can't wait to share this one in particular. And with that, let us go ahead and welcome on our guests, Elijah, Taya. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you both so much for joining me today. Thank you for reaching out and sharing this work. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be fantastic. So why don't I start, Elijah, with you, the playwright. Can you tell us a little bit about this show?
Yeah, so the show is basically an exploration of love. That's one of the common themes I kind of go for when I'm writing plays. I am happily married. I've been married for 2 years. So exploring, I know, claps. It's been a fantastic journey, and I can't wait to continue it and just exploring different things. So, but with the play, it's basically an exploration of love, basically a deconstructing the idea of it, like, and how it operates and functions in our real life and like in the metaphysical realm as well. So the play is basically about these two characters, person one, person two, and they get married and they promise to love each other until the end of time. And then they pass away and then they reunite in the afterlife in the spirit realm as spirits. And then they continue their commitment. They continue their vow to love each other and until the end of time. So they continue this for like 7 billion years. So they're in a relationship, happily married for 7 billion years, exploring the cosmos and space and the universe. And then they finally reach the end of time. And the end of time is literally a sign in the middle of the universe that says the end of time. And then that is where the conflict arises. They kind of question everything from there. Person one is very hesitant to go over since they promised each other to love each other until the end of time, and now it's here. So they're questioning of, well, if I go over, what's going to happen? Like, is love like for nothing? Like, what does it mean? What is the grand purpose of it? And person two is like, hey, let's just go over, see what happens no matter what. Like, that was the plan. That was what we initially had, but it's more complicated than that. It's more complex. I even talk about how God created love and why did they create love and for what meaning? And that's also a driving force of their discussions on whether they should go past the end of time, because they can either, was 7 billion years together like for nothing, or does it actually mean something past the sign? Will they vanish? Will they like erase? Will their memories be gone? So there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of stakes that happen just from this sign that says the end of time. So yeah, that's basically the main premise of the play.
What a beautiful story. I love it. So what inspired you to write this? Where did you come up with the idea for it?
So I have a thing called like subconscious influence, where sometimes I don't have a direct physical influence or like inspiration from something. I'll just be like laying down with my cat, like watching TV, and like some random image pops in my head. And I'm like, oh, how cool would it be if there's like a sign in the middle of the universe that says the end of time? And then there's two people that face it and they have to like figure out what to do from there. And then I'm like, all right, that's like the nucleus. That's the core of the idea. And then once I start writing, that's when like, I'm like, oh, like here's like little influences and experience from my personal life. So as I keep going and writing, that's when I like fill in the colors and stuff. And then I find little tiny inspirations and influences from my own personal life, not like direct correlations, because I want to give these characters their own story, their own voice. But for this particular play in general, I think I was just in my living room with my cat watching TV. And I was like, hey, how cool would it be if, you know, this instant happened, this instant happened. And then once I started writing, that's when the flesh came to be. That's when all the colors and details came to be. So
very cool. Now, Taya, how is it that you came upon this piece?
My university was doing a 10-minute play festival, and Elijah submitted Until, and we had to read all these plays, and I came across this one. I absolutely fell in love with it. However, it is in fact an hour long, so we were not able to do it for the 10-minute play festival. But when the next semester rolled around, I had to do a one act, and like this show like immediately came to mind. I remember when I first read it, it's one of those shows where you really feel like it's meant for everyone. Like everyone has gone through these sort of circumstances and they're having all these hard discussions. But I think what spoke to me the most was that there was something so innately soft about it and gentle, even though they were having this, like, person one and person two were having this really difficult conversation. And that's when I knew I had to do it for my one act the next semester.
Amazing. Well, kind of building on that, as we are about 2 weeks away from the show opening, what has it been like developing the piece?
Oh my gosh, it's been so much fun. For one, because I've gotten to bring back two of my original actors from the show, or actresses from the show. And then we got to cast two new performers to come in and take on person one and person two. And so sort of blending like this idea of like who I was 2 or 3 years ago and like how I interpreted the play then versus how we all interpret it now with these new people coming in. It's been really fantastic. And I think we've been discovering more of like the complexities with person one and person two, and definitely like giving person two a lot of strength, even though she is the one who at first glance might seem, I'm trying to think of the right word, lost, or might seem upset and sad the whole time, and like really discovering like who she is as an individual and like what gives her power in this situation. And that's been really, really fun.
Sounds it. That's fantastic. Elijah, coming back to you, I would love to know, with this beautiful story you're telling, what is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from it?
So with this story, and just generally with my writing, I think one of the simple things about theater that I try to strive for, like the simple formula, is to entertain, for someone to feel something and to think. So when I'm writing something, I try not to impose like themes and messages. In my head, I'm just like, I'm just going to write a story, just a human, genuine, authentic, honest story about two individuals, and kind of go from there. So universally speaking, like, all emotions are accepted, all interpretations are accepted, and all themes are accepted from the audience.
It's a fabulous idea. Taya, what about you? What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away from Until?
I think just naturally what comes out of the conversation and where the characters end up, I really hope that it gives people the courage to put their growth and their happiness before their relationships, or before what feels safest, because sometimes the harder thing to do is what's actually going to help you. And I think part of the reason why I wanted to cast women in this show is because I think that it is something that affects women a lot, in feeling like they have to find a safe relationship, and then once the relationship is safe, then they're done. And that's not true.
Yeah, it's a great point. Great ideas. Well, let me ask you my final question for the first part, and that is, who do you hope have access to this piece? And Taya, I want to start first with you on that.
For one, like I said before, I think this show really is for everyone. I think we all kind of come to a crossroads, whether it's like your relationship with a partner or your relationship with family or with friends, where you either have to sacrifice a part of yourself in order to stay connected to them, or you have to understand that like their love is now a part of you forever, and you can do whatever you need to do. So in that case, I really do think it's for everyone. But I mean, again, talking about the fact that the reason why I cast all women in the show is that I think that women of all ages should come see it. And I hope to reach women of all ages. Because again, I think that sometimes we just get trapped in the idea that once we're in a safe relationship, we're done. And I think this show really gives people the courage to talk further about it.
I love that. Elijah, what about you? Who do you hope have access to Until?
Yeah, kind of on the same plane with Taya. It is for everyone, especially someone who has been involved in some sort of love, whether it be platonic or, you know, affectionate or marriage or just a regular relationship. I think it's important too to show the other side of one thing I really wanted to get at is the individual. So the characters in the play, they do a lot of self-discovery about themselves and who they are past the idea of love and what society has implemented, what this idea of love is, and just like every day, just kind of influenced by love and how it affects us. But like, if you take that equation out, if you take that formula out, like, who are you, like in the bare bones of your soul? And like, how do you express that? And I think it's really important to show that sometimes you can still love someone and make those sacrifices to go on a new journey to kind of explore and see what you're made of. So like, one of my biggest fears is losing my wife in any capacity. And one of my, also another of my biggest fears is like, if I do lose her in the real life or in a metaphysical world or in whatever level, like, and we were to separate, then I don't, like, how would I go forward? Who would I be? How would I like rediscover myself and rebuild myself? And to show that, like, that even though I had something that was so beautiful and cherishing, how can I go further to and to see, like, what's my identity past the thing that I establish with my love life? So
second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start with our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Elijah, if I can go ahead and start with you first on that.
Cool. So my foundation of like my writing inspirations was the theater of the absurd. So I was really into like Samuel Beckett, Edward Albee, Eugene Ionesco in college. I took an acting course that was solely based on the theater of the absurd. And until then, I was just, you know, confronted with conventional theater, very naturalistic, realistic theater. And I thought that was the way. I'm like, okay, cool, this is fun. And like, great and everything. And then I got to the Theater of the Absurd and I was like, oh, it's a whole new lens. It's a whole new world. And I gravitated towards it because there was this rawness to it. There was this honesty to it. There was this experimental avant-garde nature to it. There was a lot of cool like theatrical devices that I felt like were important to like try to incorporate in like in my work and stuff and like try to play with language and like try to play with the world and the sense of the world and like take it out into like different boundaries and like try to expand something that is a relatively simple idea but kind of make it like kind of warped in a way that's still meaningful. So again, Theater of the Absurd, Edward Albee, Ionesco, also Susan Laurie Parks. I love Susan Laurie Parks as well. So
wonderful names there. Wonderful, wonderful names on that list. Thank you. Taya, what about you? What or who inspires you?
I did theater growing up and I started discovering more of my love to contribute to like the full creation of it through reading. One of the people who really made me think like, oh, I would love to put this on a stage because I can see it when I'm reading it was Charlotte Perkins Gilman, who wrote Woman in the Yellow Wallpaper and a bunch of other amazing short stories, and she just has a very pedestrian way of her character speaking, but the world around them is like vibrant and alive, but like the characters feel so based in reality. So that's definitely been a huge inspiration for me. Some of the revolutionary topics and like ideals of like George Orwell and sort of that like head first going full forward energy I love to play with sometimes. I, of course, love Rachel Chavkin. I mean, have to. There's like no choice in that. Baz Luhrmann has also been a really big inspiration as to how to take something that isn't necessarily a musical, but like make it look almost as big and theatrical as a musical, which I love. And then something that I've noticed specifically for this show is I will reference Artemisia a lot, she was an Italian painter a long time ago and created some really beautiful works again with those like big vibrant colors that I love.
Also some wonderful inspirations. This is fabulous. I love it. Let me ask the two of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? Taya, I'd love to start with you first on that.
I think genuinely my favorite part, one, is that you continually get to meet and work with new people all the time. Like it's a rotating door and those people often become some of your best friends. And that's really awesome. And then the other thing is honestly working on same thing where you're like working on new projects all the time, but getting to research a new topic, a new person, a new historical event and deep dive into like history a lot of the time is so interesting to me, or philosophy, and kind of having justification to do it because you're working on it, or like you're working on a show and you have to, and then getting to have philosophical conversations with like actors and production team members in the room is probably one of my favorite parts.
I love that. Elijah, what about you?
One of my favorite parts working in the theater is probably the companionship, the camaraderie, and the collaboration. So three C's, I guess. I think those are very important because I love just being in the room and ideas are just thrown and clashed together. There's compromise, there's conflicts, but at the end of the day, we have one goal to reach. And in that one goal, there's all these elements. It's multifaceted. There's the light crew, and then there's the back of the house, there's logistics, there's people, the director, the actors. It's all one big collaboration to make something happen, to make something come to life, to make an experience for everyone to see and to everyone to witness. And I think that's one of my favorite parts, and just the memories of the camaraderie and just like working together and trying to figure things out. Like it can be a puzzle sometimes, and sometimes the pieces don't fit here and there, and we have to make like a little detour and like find another piece and keep on just experimenting and until we find a just general consensus and general answer and then kind of go from there. So yeah, I like that aspect of just everyone coming together in one building, one room, and just kind of developing some magic and kind of see where it goes from there.
I love that. This is so much fun. And I'm stealing that, by the way, the three C's, done. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I have two. One is from this show, from Until, we're working on right now. We were in rehearsal the other day. And we have these two characters that sort of play past person one and past person two at some points, but they're also supposed to sort of be extensions of their souls that have their own personalities and their own lives. And they kind of sit off to the corner of the stage and we're running this very serious scene. And I look over and they're rock, paper, scissoring who has to play God. So that was great. And then my other favorite memory is my freshman year of college, we had tech class. And, you know, we're all like 17, 18. And the first thing, this is like the first week that you get to school. You walk into the theater and our professor Googs has this like scaffolding all set up. And we all had to climb the scaffolding and come back down as like a way of being like, welcome. It was fun though. It was really fun. And everyone's like very encouraging and making sure that you get up and come back down.
Those are amazing memories. I love that. Though I gotta tell you, with my fear of heights, I don't know that I could climb the scaffolding. I would have been like, well, that's
okay.
everything
You
down.
didn't always have to, but the community was there to help you if you wanted to go.
Love that. Well, Elijah, what about you? What's your favorite theater memory?
My favorite theater memory happened in London. So I went to London for study abroad when I was in college. And my main focus when I got into the arts was dance. So I started off as a dancer, and I still dance today, and I do projects here and there. So dance has been a big portion of my life and my art. So I went to London and I saw a showing of Twyla Tharp's In the Upper Room. And it's my favorite dance piece of all time. And I've only seen it on YouTube like a couple hundred times. I never seen it live. And I was so giddy and so excited. And like, I saw the tickets and like, I completely like jumped on it. And I almost missed it, and I miscalculated like the times. I thought it was for a certain time, but it was actually another time. So I'm just moseying, like just kind of enjoying my time. And then I get an alert saying like, oh, the show's like in 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I gotta go. And like, I'm in a flat with someone, and I was like, hey, I gotta go. So I'm rushing. The theater's like, I think like 20 something minutes away. So I'm rushing, I go on the buses, I go on the tube. And I get there with like 2 minutes, like 2 minutes to remain. And I was like, hey, I'm here to see the show. And like, I'm out of breath. I'm sweating. I'm huffing and puffing. My nerves are like skyrocketing right now. And I was like, hey, like, I'm here. And they're like, okay, like, you made it just in time. Like, we just closed the doors, but we'll sneak you in. I was like, thank you so much, because like, this means a lot. And I got there and I saw the show and I didn't know what to expect. I was just excited. Again, I've been watching it like on YouTube for years. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, like I felt like I was transcending into the heavens, because it was probably one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever seen in my life. I like cried for most of the time because of just the nerves and the anxiety of getting there and then actually getting there and like seeing it in its full like throttle. And right in front of me, and it was like kind of like a dream come true. And I just keep on thinking about a quote by Martha Graham, and she said, "Dancers are the athletes of gods." And I that night I believed her. I was like, "Mm-hmm, that's absolutely true." And it was one of the most greatest experience of my life. So,
wow, what a memory! That's so fabulous, both of you. Thank you so much for those great memories. I love those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about Until or about either of you. Maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Well, you can find more information about the show at theaterforthenewcity.net. You can also follow the show's Instagram at Until a New Play. If they want to find me, they can go to my Instagram directed by Taya.
And for me, if you're a writer, director, or producer, I am on New Play Exchange. If you don't know what it is, it's basically like a Facebook for playwrights and writers, and you can connect with them. So you can make an account or not make an account. You just search my name, Elijah Vasquez, Vazquez. And then my profile should pop up. And then if you're interested in reading any of my works or inquiring about the rights, you can do that. So.
Wonderful. Well, Elijah, Taya, thank you both so much for stopping by and sharing this amazing show. Again, I cannot wait to see it. I'm so excited about it. And I'm so excited that both of you are on this project. You're wonderful artists. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. My guests today have been the playwright Elijah Vasquez and the director Taya Einerson, who stopped by to talk to us about their new work, Until, playing April 25th through May 12th at Theater for the New City. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting theaterforthenewcity.net. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out and join us at Theater for the New City to see this great new work, Until, playing April 25th through May 12th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater.
In a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.